Good morning. Wildfires are raging in Washington state with no end in sight. The governor likened it to a war zone. President Trump's reflecting pool drama continues. The Washington Post explains why it's been so hard to fix.
The reflecting pool has been in Washington for over a century. It is highly memorable and visible. And it's also been a problem for many administrations.
And how a piece of a wayward SpaceX rocket ended up crashing into the moon. It's Wednesday, August 5th. I'm Gideon Resnick in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. Multiple wildfires are burning in Spokane, Washington, in what the state's governor said could be the worst natural disaster in the city's history. Governor Bob Ferguson told CNN that entire neighborhoods have been decimated.
It looks like a bomb went off. It's been described by many as looking like a war zone, and that is the only way to describe it. So these are just neighborhoods right in the city, totally wiped out in a space of just a few hours.
Authorities have charged a suspect with arson for allegedly lighting one of three wildfires causing massive damage around the state's second largest city. The suspect, 37-year-old Aaron Fernacci, a convicted felon, was arrested on Monday. A resident saw him kneeling and acting suspicious near the ignition point of the Old Trails fire, the most destructive of the three. When they noticed smoke coming from the area not long after, they notified authorities. John Noels, the Spokane County Sheriff, praised their quick action in a press conference.
This was fantastic and very quick work by everybody involved. As it happens in so many critical cases, it was citizens who were paying attention to their surroundings, being aware and willing to step up and say something that led to the relatively quick apprehension of Mr. Fernacci.
The sheriff also said they found matches and a lighter on Fernacci. He made his first court appearance Tuesday afternoon and denied setting the blaze. The fires burning across eastern Washington have forced more than 65,000 people to evacuate in recent days. At least 700 structures have been destroyed, and many people have lost everything. Spokane resident Samantha Kaufman told CNN about learning from her dad that their family home was destroyed.
He's lived on that property for 30 plus years and has built it from the ground up. To see it be taken from us in a matter of moments is absolutely devastating, and to hear the heartbreak in his voice is something that I truly cannot even put into words.
No deaths or injuries have been confirmed, but these fires are nowhere close to being contained, in part because first responders have been dealing with a challenging set of weather conditions: low humidity, strong winds, and high temperatures. These same conditions exacerbated the 2025 wildfires in Los Angeles, which killed dozens and destroyed thousands of properties. And some of the crews who fought those fires have been on the ground in Spokane this week to share what they learned. NBC Los Angeles spoke with the deputy chief of the Santa Monica Fire Department. He's been leading a command post of fire crews from a high school in Spokane.
Our job is to bring process to the chaos and help support the local communities with resources and accountability. And California definitely leads the country in some of the natural disasters that we've had, and to that end has developed a really robust incident management team.
And he praised local leaders for evacuating so many people so quickly. President Trump approved a federal disaster declaration on Tuesday, making FEMA funds available for the area. More firefighters are expected to arrive in the coming days. They got a brief break on Monday and Tuesday when the heavy winds died down, but a heat wave is projected to hit the area soon. President Trump's push to renovate the Lincoln Memorial's reflecting pool and to hold people accountable he claims damaged it has run into some major roadblocks in recent days. The U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C., Jeanine Pirro, dropped vandalism charges for four people the administration had accused of damaging the pool shortly after it was repainted. In a court filing, prosecutors said that the damage was due to flawed installation work, contrary to Trump's claims. Pirro, one of the president's staunchest allies, has now become a target of Trump's. Speaking in the Oval Office, he harshly criticized her decision to drop the charges, saying that Pirro had, quote, folded like an umbrella.
I think she choked because the judge was really vicious. Instead of going after the people that did it, the judge went after her and went after her department. And I guess she choked.
Trump later met with Pirro, and reportedly she is keeping her job for now. She's accused the Interior Department of withholding information that would have stopped the investigation earlier. Dan Diamond, a reporter with the Washington Post, told us that there could have been broader ramifications of pursuing the case further.
If it turned out that the federal government was bringing charges wrongly based on bad evidence, bad claims, that could have had real repercussions for the lawyers involved, and they could have been ultimately disbarred if it's true that they were prosecuting a false case.
The public spat is indicative of a broader frustration that the president's attempts to renovate the pool more quickly and more cheaply than his predecessors has not gone according to plan.
President Trump and his deputies thought that the reflecting pool would be a perfect example of how he could fix and improve Washington. I was in the White House some weeks ago, right after the pool had been completed, where officials were boasting about it and said, this is exactly what Trump wants to do. He's going to cut through bureaucracy. He's going to do these things faster and cheaper than anyone thought possible.
The pool's last significant renovation project happened during the Obama administration. It took years and cost $34 million. In an effort to expedite changes this time, the administration awarded a no-bid contract for over $14 million to repaint and waterproof the concrete floor. In June, that paint was chipping, which led to the vandalism accusations. The project was not completed by Trump's desired July 4th date.
It is not President Trump's fault that this pool has had problems. They predated him. But what has made it hard to address is that, first, this is a historic site, and historic sites need to go through a number of reviews and discussion points before there can be a project to address them. At least that's been the normal precedent. And that has meant that past projects have sometimes taken years to address the reflecting pool. President Trump didn't want to wait for that, so he went forward quickly.
For the first time on Monday, Trump seemed to suggest that he was not happy with the contractor's work. Yet he claimed, without further details, that the pool would reopen soon. Over 4 million people, including many children, are estimated to have lost federal food benefits since last July, after President Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill into law. The legislation made some big changes to SNAP, the program that supports low-income people and families. It cut eligibility for some and expanded work requirements. Nationally, participation dropped 11% between last July and April, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a left-leaning think tank. And the group says nearly every state has seen enrollments decline. The largest drop was in Arizona, where SNAP participation is roughly half the size it was a year ago, with around 400,000 fewer people enrolled. NPR's Juliana Kim has been talking with people there, and she reports for NPR that for the first time, there are more people visiting food banks in the state every month than signed up for food stamps.
I spoke to Milt Liu, who's the president of St. Mary's Food Bank, which operates across the state. He says his group is distributing more food than ever. And it's not just because people are losing their benefits. He says people are struggling to keep up with rising costs of groceries, gas, and housing.
States like Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Florida have also seen big drops in SNAP enrollment over the last year. The Agriculture Department told NPR last month that participation in these kinds of food benefits tends to fluctuate, and no single policy is responsible. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins also previously asserted that the decline could be due to an improving economy. A senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities told NPR that requests for more documentation to prove eligibility is jamming up some state systems. The other key change coming to SNAP is that the federal government is going to charge states a part of the cost of covering benefits if their application error rate reaches a certain number. In anticipation of that change, some states are already making adjustments that impact benefits. Sarah Naomi Bleich, a former USDA official under Presidents Obama and Biden, explained the dynamic to PBS.
Some states, like Arizona, are being overzealous in their implementation of the rules, making it much harder for eligible people to obtain or maintain benefits.
Bleich said that between that and understaffed offices, the SNAP system in most states is moving more slowly than usual right now.
So they lack the capacity to process all this paperwork. And so when a person is applying for the first time or recertifying or confirming their hours worked to comply with the time limit, there's a 30-day deadline. Even if an eligible person submits all the required information on time, if the state does not process it by the deadline, that person is automatically removed and has to start the process all over again.
And beginning in October, additional costs are going to shift from the federal government to states. Local lawmakers are asking for more time to prepare for the changes coming this fall. A bipartisan group of over 200 mayors recently sent a letter to the Senate asking them to reverse or delay some of the changes and cuts to SNAP. Here are a few other stories we're following today. Law enforcement officials announced that they arrested a man carrying ammunition who also had a gun in his car on Sunday at President Trump's golf course in the Los Angeles area. He appeared to be monitoring security preparations ahead of Trump's fundraiser there last night. The AP reports that law enforcement found additional ammunition and firearms at his home. He was charged with a number of felonies and pleaded not guilty. He was also ordered to stay away from the golf course and to not possess weapons. Embattled Ohio Republican Congressman Max Miller told CNN yesterday that he had no plans to end his campaign amid accusations of domestic violence against his ex-wife and their daughter.
What the American people can see is that they can see that somebody is fighting who is resilient, and that is a quality that the American people cherish. And so for no second am I going to sit here and continue to be debased by false and baseless allegations and be pushed out of a seat I have worked so hard to represent.
Miller has denied the allegations, and the House Ethics Committee has opened an investigation into him after he urged one. This comes as there has been increasing pressure from members of his own party. His former father-in-law, Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno, said that Miller was not fit to serve in Congress. Axios reports that President Trump called Miller, a former staffer in his first administration, on Monday and expressed doubts about his candidacy. If Miller did decide to withdraw from the race, August 10th is the deadline for a replacement Republican to make it on the ballot in his place. And finally, a discarded section of a SpaceX rocket the size of a school bus crashed into the moon late last night. The 45-foot-long, 8,000-pound rocket left over from a January 2025 launch was traveling at roughly 5,400 miles per hour when it hit the moon's Earth-facing side. Now, typically, rockets like this one re-enter the Earth's atmosphere after liftoff, but this one unintentionally drifted toward the moon and stayed in space among other pieces of space junk until its orbital path ended up on a collision course with the lunar surface. SpaceX says it's discussing with NASA ways to prevent future impacts as the agency moves forward with plans to return to the moon. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Bloomberg Businessweek explores how one Defense Department official wants the U.S. war machine to partner more closely with businesses, including the private equity firm that he co-founded. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story, and I'll be back with the news tomorrow.